And now Yaakov, now Kinelach, is traveling with his family, going back towards Eretz Canaan, and Lavan goes back to his house. He gets back home, he walks into his house, and it's a big, big mess. Drawers were open, things were all over the place. What does it mean? Robbers. Robbers broke into my house. Look, they went through all the drawers. They went through all the closets. They stole a whole bunch of stuff. Things were missing. Oh no, robbers. For 20 years I didn't have robbers. Why didn't he have robbers for 20 years? Yaakov was living there. He had a bracha. It's terrible. He picked up all the stuff and he put it back. He straightened up the house. And it was hot. He was so schwitzy, thirsty. Oh, I need a good drink. Please go to the well and bring me a drink. They went to the well. They brought Lavan a drink of water. He drinks down the water. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, sour, stinking water. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, the water, it tastes like lemon juice, and it smells. Oh, this is the way the water used to be before Yaakov came. Remember, the water was smelly and sour and yucky? The water was smelly and sour and yucky and horrible. Oh, no. Well, we better go take the sheep out to the field. They took the sheep out to the field. They have to eat the grass. All of a sudden, somebody screams, "Wolves are coming! Wolves are coming!" And a whole bunch of wolves came and started to chase around the sheep. And they started to bite the sheep. And Laban says, "What's happening over here? For so many years, wolves didn't bother the sheep. All of a sudden, it's coming wolves." And he saw the bracha is gone. The bracha is gone. Because Yaakov left, the special bracha left, and Lavan was so upset, he got so angry, he got very upset and very angry, and he decided he's going to get Yaakov in trouble. And he sat down and he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter, and he's going to send this letter to Esav. And he is going to get Esav angry at Yaakov. And he's going to get now, he's going to take Nakama and Yaakov and get Yaakov in trouble. So, he called his son named Be'oir, a big Rasha, Be'oir. And Lavan sits down and writes a letter. "Dear Esav, your brother Yaakov, your tricky brother, is going to Eretz Canaan. Oh, is he tricky? Now I see why you wanted to kill him. I also wanted to kill him, but Hashem didn't let me. Oh, he tricked you and he tricked me. I feel bad for you and I feel bad for me. By you, I know he took away your brachas, and that got you very upset. Well, he lived by me for 20 years. You know what he did? He took away my daughters. He took away my einiklech. He took away my sheep. Somebody even stole my getchke. They took everything. They took away the bracha that was here. Everything good they took away. He tricked me. Yaakov tricked me, and he tricked you. Well, you should know, I just want to warn you, that tricky Yaakov is coming back to Eretz Canaan. I feel bad for you, Esav. Yaakov is coming." And he gave Be'or the letter, and he says, "Run as fast as you can, or go on your horsey, and travel to Eretz Canaan and give this to Esav on Har Seir." Of course, what was the idea of this letter? That Lavan wants to get Esav angry again, that he should remember all the things with Yaakov and kill Yaakov. You understand, kiddies? And so, kiddies, Be'or goes to Har Seir in Eretz Canaan, and he finds Esav's big fancy schmancy house over there where he lives. Esav became a big millionaire over there. And now they go to the house to give Esav the letter, and he reads it. And he starts remembering all the things with Yaakov, and his face turns red. Like a tomato. And he says, Once and for all, I'm going to kill that Yaakov. And he went out of his house and he started screaming, "Oh, the men of Seir, let's go. We're going to make an army and we're going to get Yaakov. He's coming before he tricks me again, or he tricks you." And they got together 400 men and they made an army, and they're going now, chas v'shalom, to kill Yaakov. And kiddies, we're now going to start Parshas Vayishlach. And kiddies, now, for 20 years, Asaf is calming down. He forgets about his brother, or let's put it this way, he's not thinking too much about it. He also got a bracha from Yitzchak. One of the brachas for Esav is to become very rich in this world. That's why many people from Esav, they have a big, beautiful house, they have a lot of money, a few cars, a big yard, all kinds of things, and all kinds of food, and all kinds of fun things that they have, and they do avedus. And you might have a yid who's poor, a yid who doesn't have enough money even to pay for things that he needs, and this yid is doing mitzvahs. How could it be? How could it be? A yid is serving Hashem. Hashem is taking care of the whole world, and this yid does not have enough money. He's always looking for more money for things that he needs. And the yid is doing mitzvahs, and he's learning Torah, and he's davening, and he's saying tillim, and he gives whatever tzedakah he can. And you take from Esav somebody, he does not daven, he does not learn, he does not do a mitzvah, he's doing a vedas, and he's got so much money and so many things, more than he even needs, and extra. How could it be? So Kindalach, one of the things over here is, what is better, first good and then bad, or first bad and then good? What is better? Okay. Now really, Kindalach, bad is only the way we see it. Sometimes at first is very hard, and later on it gets very good. This is the way by a tzaddik. First, he might have it very difficult, like by Avram Avinu. Hashem tested Avram 10 times. Avram had a lot of difficulties, especially Yaakov. Yaakov had a lot of difficulties in this world. But later on, in this world and in the next world, this is where Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the Yidden, they have it very good. Or now, we're in Golus. We have a lot of difficulties in Golus. This is the beginning. When Mashiach comes, oy vey, is it going to be good? Is it going to be geschmack and wonderful? First we have it very difficult, but then we have it good. But there's other ways also. First it's very good. A boy is eating so much nash. Ay, it's so delicious. Ay, it's so sweet. Ay, it's so good. And later on, oh, hey, my stomach hurts. I ate too much nash. It's so bad, my stomach. I'm so sick. First is good, then later on it's bad. This is the way it is by Roshoyim. Chas v'shalom, not saying the kid is a Rasha. But this is the Seder by Roshoyim. The Seder by not the Yiddish way. Now, Kinalach, Esav got a bracha to be a millionaire and have it so good and wonderful. Why? Hashem is paying in this world. He's giving everything in this world. After this world, Olam Haba, the door is closed. I'm sorry, you're not coming into Olam Haba. The door is closed, it's locked. Why? I want to go to Olam Haba. You did any mitzvahs. You behaved yourself. You were good. You helped people. Or you were only thinking of yourself and doing avedus. And then the Bnei Esav have nothing to say. They can't go to Gan Eden. Because in Gan Eden, what is the ticket to get to Gan Eden? Not to buy a ticket, not to pay with all your money, or to drive over there in the big fancy schmancy car, or go dressed up in your fancy schmancy suit. Mitzvahs, Torah, Maisim Toivim, Avos Yisrael. This is what gets a Yid, or Chassidei Umat Zo'elam, who kept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that gets him to Gan Eden. B'nei Esav got all the brachas for this world. Rich. Esav lived in a big, beautiful house on Har Seir with all of his friends, and they did a Vedas. But that's all they get after this world finished. Goodbye. So Esav was over there in his big, fancy, schmancy house, and he forgot all about all the things he was had, all of his money and all of his parties and all of his fun. But when he got the letter from Be'er, the son of Lavan, he started remembering and getting angry. By a Yid, Lahavdil, if somebody did something wrong to you that you're upset, you have to forgive and forget and not let it sit there and get you angry all the time. You're not allowed to hate somebody in your heart or get them back with nakama or bear a grudge, hold it against them. It's called Netira. By Esav, he remembers the bad. He does not forgive you. He'll remember it, what you did 20 years ago. And he says, aha, it's coming, Yaakov, my brother, my tricky brother. I'm going to get him. And he became jealous when he read the letter, how Yaakov had all kinds of good things. Look at Esav. He's got all kinds of good things himself. It's not enough for him. He's got to be jealous of Yaakov. And look how Yaakov worked so hard for his things. And Esav ran out, and he called to all of his friends, let's make the army. And they made an army of 400 men, and they start riding to Yaakov, to kill Yaakov, and to take everything away from Yaakov. And in the meantime, Kenalach, Yaakov is going now to Eretz Canaan, and he doesn't know from all this what's happening. And they're traveling now, and it takes a few days. Like I told you, 16 days, it's a big trip. And now they cross over the river called Yaboik. The river called the river Yaboik. They're going over. There's no bridge. Yaakov has to carry the boys over first. Then he has to carry over the things. And the wives go through the river, and Dina goes through the river, and they all make it through. And Yosef was still a little baby. They carry Yosef across. Binyamin was not born yet. And they're on the other side of the river. It's getting late. Everybody's very tired from schlepping all the things across the river. And all of a sudden, Yaakov says, "Oh, I forgot a few packages on the other side of the river. I better go back and get the packages. I left them over there by a tree. A few small boxes." So Yaakov goes back over the river this one last time, he thinks. And over there by the tree, he finds a few of the small packages, and he picks them up. He's ready to go back over the river. And all of a sudden, he sees an old man standing by the river. And he's got a few shepselach over there. And the old man standing next to the river, and he sees Yaakov, and he says, "Hey, excuse me, young man." I mean, Yaakov wasn't exactly so young, but this man was older. "Hey, excuse me, but are you going over the other side of the river? Do you think maybe you could carry some of my shepselach across the river? I only have a few shepselach, and I'm an old man. I can't carry them myself, and they can't swim. These aren't exactly fish, you know. They're shepselach. Do you think that you could carry them over with you?" Yaakov says, "Sure." He was happy to do a favor to help somebody. And Yaakov goes, and he takes the shepselach on his shoulders across the river. And he sees that the old man is still on the other side of the river, and he notices that there's another shepselach. "Oh, I better go back and carry that shepselah also." He goes back on the other side of the river, and he notices not only one or two shepselah, there's four. Where'd these come from? I guess they were over by the other side, over there by the tall grass or something. He didn't see them. And Yaakov comes back and he carries the Shepsel across the river again. He goes over the other side of the river carrying them. He thinks the job is done and he comes back to the old man. I guess he wants to help the old man across the river too. And he sees now 7 more Shepselach. Hey, wait a minute. You said you only had a few. Oh, just these few. He takes over those Shepselach. It takes him a few times. And he comes back to the old man. 10 more Shepselach. By this time, Yaakov was so tired, Kinalach. He could hardly move. Something is strange over there. Something is wrong. All of a sudden, that old man jumped on Yaakov and started to fight Yaakov. Kinalach, inside of the old man was the Yetzer Hara. This was really the Yetzer Hara, who dressed himself up like an old man. And this was not just any Yetzer Hara. This was the Malach of Esav. Now, everybody has certain malachim that are connected with them. Esav had his malach, who was the malach and the koyach of Esav. And he was a Yetzer Hara malach. He wanted to fight Yaakov and win Yaakov. What would this do? Later on, if the malach of Esav wins Yaakov, then for sure the army of Esav would win Yaakov. Because if the malach is already winning, it helps Esav to win. And so he is now fighting with Yaakov. And he played a trick on him. Again a trick. What was the trick? He got him to be so tired from carrying those Shepsel across the river that he says, Yaakov will have no more koyach, he won't be able to fight me, and I'll win. And so he's fighting Yaakov the whole night. And he's getting on top of Yaakov and knocking him down. And then Yaakov gets on top of him and knocks him down. And he's getting on top of Yaakov, rolling over and trying to get him down. And Yaakov is getting on top of him, getting him down. Because Yaakov was still very, very strong. And they were fighting the whole night. And as they were rolling around in the dirt, they were kicking up dirt. And it made a cloud. And the cloud went all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. There was so much dust flying around in the air from all the fighting. Because Yaakov did not want to let Esav's Malach win. He wanted not himself should win, but who is Yaakov fighting for? Hashem. Yaakov is fighting for Hashem. But of course, he was in the fight. And he had to put all of his koyach. When a Yid puts forth his koyach, Hashem helps him. And finally, Kinalach, the Malach of Esav gives Yaakov a big zetz right in the leg. Like a big kick, a big smack right in the leg, and hurts him. But Yaakov gets on top of the Malach, and he wouldn't let the Malach up. He wouldn't let the Malach go, and now the Malach can't move. And the Malach says, let me go. Let me go. I have to go now. Enough fighting. I have to go. It's getting light. I have to go back to do my job up in the Himmel. I have a job to do for Hashem. Now, even the Yetzer Hara Malach is a Malach for Hashem and has jobs to do. If I'm late, I'm going to get in big trouble. Let me go. And Yaakov says, I should let you go. Here you start a fight. The whole night you're fighting with me. And now you say the fight's up and I'm going to let you go. Are you kidding? I'm going to stay right where I am. And the Malach started to scream and started to cry. Ah, I'll be in such trouble. Let me go. I have to get back. I'm going to get punished. I have to go back to Gan Eden now. Let me go. Because the Malach cannot be in the daytime. He has to go back now. And he has to sing Shira for Hashem. And there's a certain time that he's got to do it. And finally Yaakov says, okay, I'll let you go on one condition. You have to give me a bracha. If you give me a bracha, I'll let you go. Look what Yaakov is doing. The Yetzer Hara Malach that wanted Chas Shalom to be against him, he's now making him to give him a bracha. He's making the Yetzer Hara give him a bracha. Which is the smartest trick a tzaddik can play, is to use out the Yetzer Hara to help him instead of just fighting the Yetzer Hara. He makes the Yetzer Hara to give him a bracha. Okay, the Malach said,
I am going to give you a new name. Not that you can't use your last name, Yaakov, like Avram, got a new name, Avraham. The Torah says, after Avraham got his new name, you should not call him any longer Avram, only call him Avraham. But over here, Yaakov still will have the name Yaakov, but he's going to have also a new name, a special name, and the Malach named him Yisroel. Yisroel, because you were fighting with Malachim and you won. With people also and you won. In other words, he won against Lavan, he's going to win against Esav, and he won against the Malach of Esav. It says, Kisarisa im Elokim v'anashim. You fought with Malachim and people, and you're going to win. And so can Allah, this is how we got the name Yisrael. We're Bnei Yisrael. We also have the name Yisrael. We're stronger than any koyach of the Yetzihara, because we have the koyach of Hashem. And Yaakov let go of the Malach. The Malach flew up in the Himmel, and now Yaakov is limping on his leg because he got a big zetz, a big smack in his leg. And he's limping, kenelach, but later on he got a refuah shleima from his leg, and his leg got all better. And now he goes to his family, and it's time now for his family to go on towards Esav. And of course we know that Esav is coming with 400 men. Now, as Yaakov is going with his family, this is what happens. Back in Eretz Canaan, the army of 400 men is riding, and a friend of Yitzchak and Rivka is walking that day in the road, and he sees an army of 400 men with Esav. And he hears them yelling, "We're going to get Yaakov! We're going to get Yaakov!" Uh-oh. The friend says, "I better go tell Yitzchak and Rivka what's happening. Their son is in danger." The friend goes to Yitzchak and Rivka, and he tells them, Esav is going against Yaakov, the 400 men. Yitzchak is in danger. Very quickly, Rivka took out a pen. In those days, a feather and ink. She took out a paper, and she wrote a letter to her son Yaakov. "Dear Yaakov, this is your mother. This is what you must do now, because Esav is coming against you. Number one, you have to daven to Hashem that He should help you. Number two, you have to make a matana, a present. Esav loves money. He loves presents. He loves things. Make him a present, and maybe that's going to make him to feel better. He should not fight against you. But you have to also get ready for a war. In case the davening and the present is not enough for whatever reason Hashem has, you have to be prepared to fight also. And you will have to fight Esav. These three things you must do." She put in a letter. She sent it with a shliach. And they took it to Yaakov. And Yaakov got the letter. He read it. And right away everyone said Tehillim. Everyone davened. They gave tzedakah. They asked Hashem that he should help them against Esav. And then they made a matana. What is the matana? Like this. Yaakov took all kinds of different animals. Goats, 200. And 20 boy goats. He took Shepselach, 200. And rams, he took 20. He took different kind of camels. And he took cows, and he took donkeys, and all of these kinds of animals were very valuable. It's worth a lot of money. Now, he sent it as a gift to Esav in a special way. He put them in a long line, a straight line. Like, let's say, 200 goats, he put in a straight line. It's like a mile long. And then he made a space between the goats, And then came the camels, or the shepselech, or the cows, whatever it was, also in a straight line. So when you look at the present, it's 10 miles long. It looks huge. And when Esav would see this with his eyes, he would light up and get excited. Ooh, look at the present that I'm getting. It's so big. It's so expensive. And then when he gets a nice present, and he knows how much money he's getting, he's going to calm down, and he's going to forget about how angry he is. This is the way Esav works. You give him a good present, and he calms down. And so they sent now a present to going over there towards Esav. Now, Yaakov, since he was a tzaddik, he had malachim also with him. And it says, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv. He sent malachim also to Esav. These malachim traveled with Yaakov to take care of him. And these malachim said to Yaakov, don't worry, Yaakov, we're going to take good care. Good care of Esav. What are we going to do? Don't worry, you leave it to us. These malachim now, they went into the Himmel, and they started screaming, oh, malachim, who like Yaakov, come with me. And all the malachim came, they love Yaakov, and they come with the malachim that were with Yaakov. Okay, let's make a big army. Esav makes a big army. Let's also us make a big army. Let's go. And the Malachim now have this big army, and they're going. All of a sudden, Esav with his 400 men, they see this gigantic army. What kind of an army is this? We never saw such a big army like this. Who are these people? And the generals who were from the other army, the Malachim's army, they say to Esav, who are you? My name is Esav. Where are you going with this army? Well, I'm going against Yaakov. Yaakov, the tricker man, I'm going against him to teach him a lesson. And the other generals say, you're going against Yaakov? Do you know that Yaakov is our friend? You're going against Yaakov? And the generals called to the army, get these men, let's go. And the whole army went over there, and they started punching and smashing and banging all of Esav's men. And they knocked them off of their horses and off of their camels, and they knocked them down. They were jumping on them and poking them and banging them. And then they left. And Esav's men are all on the ground crying and screaming, oh, what happened to us? Who was that army? Oy vey. Oh, we're so scared. Maybe we shouldn't go against Yaakov. Who is that army? Esav says, they're gone now. Forget it. I don't know who they were. They were some kind of friends maybe of Yaakov. I'm not going to give up. Get back on your horses and let's go. They get back on their horses and they start to go. And again, the army comes. This big Malachim army. Esav, where are you going? I'm going to Yaakov. You're still going to Yaakov? You didn't turn around to go home yet? Get him, let's go. And all the malachim go and they start banging and smashing and patching and poking and they start pushing and banging and jumping. And yeah, Esav's men are afraid and they're scared. Oh, let's go home. I want to go back home. I don't want to fight against Yaakov. I'm afraid. And many of this army, one by one, they started to run when Esav was not looking to run away. They were afraid to go against Yaakov. They see that Yaakov has kreches. Yaakov has friends. Yaakov has Malachim helping him. Who wants to start up with Yaakov? But Esav had such chutzpah. He didn't want to give up, and he keeps going. Now, even Esav got the present, and his eyes lit up with dollar signs. He loved the present. He made him feel good. And even later on, Kedalach, when it came time to meet Yaakov, He didn't kill Yaakov. But Rabbi Shimon Yochai says that in his heart, Esav hates Yaakov. No matter how good and how friendly and how much presence Yaakov will give to Esav, Esav still hates Yaakov. In his heart, he might act nice. He might shake his hand. And he might act nice. But in his heart,